All right. Go with me back there, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 20. You remember the story of the woman who walked in wisdom and delivered the entire city? An entire generation was saved by this woman. So I want to kind of just go over some of the ways that we have identified that we can grow in wisdom. And I want to add two more to that in this service and close out this series for now. Somebody say for now.
For now.
Amen. You don't stop talking about the wisdom of God, right? There's so much to learn. I had one more definition of wisdom that I wanted to give you. I want to add that to the other ones that I've already given you previously. The wisdom is the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God's will made available to us so that we can live the best life possible on earth. Let me say that again. Wisdom is the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God's will made available to us so that we can live the best life possible on earth. So when you discover, when you gain the knowledge of God, or when you gain the knowledge of the will of God in certain areas of your life, that knowledge enables you to live the best quality of life possible. Amen. That knowledge of the will of God, or the knowledge of God himself, if it eludes us or if it's not available to us, we could enjoy certain benefits that are aspects of the goodness of God, but we may not live the best life possible. We may not, in those areas, may not live the best life possible. I see Deaconess Yvette cradling a baby right there. Is that our precious grandbaby we've been talking about? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, did you guys, I don't know, have you prayed? Have you congratulated? Have you done all of that? All right, sorry, I missed the party. Just congratulations. We're really happy for you and the family, and very happy for you guys. God bless you. Amen. Glory be to God. All right, so when you lay hold on the knowledge of the wisdom of God in these different areas of our lives, that knowledge enables us to be able to enjoy the best life possible. So there is a good life, but there's a better life, and yet there's a best life possible. And really, the will of God for us is that we will have access to the best life possible on earth. All right, let's look at this woman, this wise woman. I won't keep you guys long at all. This wise woman who saved the entire city by her wisdom. You remember her? 2 Samuel chapter 20. And first in verse 16, it says, "Then a wise woman of the city cried, 'Hear, hear,' say to Joab, 'Come here so I can speak to you.'" Notice how wisdom was demonstrated in her words. This woman did not save the entire city. And like I said 2 weeks ago when I first talked about this, notice how wisdom saved an entire generation. Because she saved the people that were in her city at that time. But she also saved, and in that city, there were older people, there were younger people, there were young couples, there were older couples, there were little children, there were teenagers, but there were also unborn children in that city. There were women who were pregnant in that city. This woman's wisdom saved an entire generation, and a generation yet unborn, by her wisdom. Amen. the wisdom of God working through our lives does not just secure our present, doesn't just secure our lives, also secures our future. And she did it entirely by her words and by her deeds. Think about it. It was by the words she spoke and by the actions that she undertook. That tells me wisdom a lot of times isn't necessarily by how much strength we have. The Bible doesn't say she was a strong woman. The Bible doesn't say she was a rich, wealthy woman. The Bible doesn't tell us her age. All of these things can affect wisdom in some way or the other. But notice the word of God says, by her wisdom, she saved an entire nation, an entire city. Amen. So it says there further in verse 19, we understand and we recognize this the last time. She said in verse 19, I am one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. I'm one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city which is a mother in Israel. She goes on and on. So we recognize, obviously, peace is the environment in which wisdom grows in. Faithfulness is one of the keys to growing in the wisdom of God. Amen. And then further down in verse 22, it says, then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and cast it down to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his own home, and Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. Remember, Joab was wanting to destroy the entire city. He was looking to burn down the entire city. But this woman, with the wisdom of God that was made available to her through her words, through her words. I like to think about it this way. What kind of words could this woman have spoken to have brought the entire city together? Because that's what she did. She mobilized the entire city together behind a common cause. She said, this man is going to destroy our city. He's working for the king. We need to come together to save our city. And I can imagine maybe some of the people there would have said, but what do we need to do? And she might say, well, he tells me there's one guy here who came into our city and who was trying to usurp the authority of the king. This guy, we need to get rid of him. And she mentioned the guy's name. And I can imagine some of the people say, huh, really? Sheba? You remember when Sheba came in here, he brought a lot of money. He gave many of us money, made our lives better. And I can imagine this woman saying, well, yeah, maybe he made some of our lives better. But listen, if Sheba does not go, our city, our entire city is going to be burned down. And I can imagine some of the people saying, well, I guess we agree with you. What I'm trying to say is, I don't think her words to the people in that nation could have been confrontational. I don't think her words would have carried anger or division or confusion. I believe her words would have been conciliatory. I believe her words would have been words of harmony. That's why we said wisdom grows when there is edification, when there is peace. Because when our words bring people together rather than scatter them, then it is easy for the wisdom of God to work. Amen? When our actions bring people together rather than scatter them, it's easy for the wisdom of God to work. Wisdom always demonstrates itself in the way it brings harmony and not division. Wisdom always demonstrates itself in the way it gathers people together around a common purpose rather than gather people together around a personal purpose. Amen. This woman, the Bible says, was a woman of wisdom because she had the overall interest of the city and the nation in her heart. She says, I'm one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. So, of course, we identified 2 weeks ago, faithfulness is one of the ways in which we grow in the wisdom of God. Now, what are the other ways? I'm going to run through those real quickly and then give you two more that I haven't mentioned up until now. Actually, one of those scriptures I may have you look for me because I didn't pick it out before this service. But let's look at some of the other ways in which we grow in wisdom. Number one, by asking for it, right? So this is revision. By asking for it, right? By asking for it and by receiving it by faith. Amen. What are the other ways we grow in wisdom? I'm needing you to talk here. Huh? Walking in peace. Well, peace, yes, that gives us the environment. Yes, definitely that creates the environment for wisdom to increase. So that's good. Yes, what are the other ways? Thank you. Prioritizing it and searching for it diligently in the Word of God and through human examples and writings and instructions. Amen. When you seek for wisdom in the Word of God, you will grow in wisdom. When you prioritize it, when you seek for wisdom in books, when you seek for wisdom in human examples, you will grow in wisdom. Amen. What other ways do we grow in wisdom? Huh? By the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I like this. I'm putting you guys on the spot. I like it. So that means, you ought to look at your notes outside of the service. By the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that means the Holy Spirit imparts more wisdom to us. How else do we grow in the wisdom of God? I'm not gonna take the preacher. I'm not gonna take anyone who's not a pastor. Oh my gosh. Help us, Holy Spirit. Huh? Being prudent. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Being prudent. All right. What does it mean to be prudent? Somebody help me with that. What does it mean to be prudent? In practical wisdom, that is, using the wisdom you already have. Being prudent. Using the wisdom you already have. I mean, all of us are at some level of growth. For instance, I just said now, this woman saved an entire city through her wisdom by her speaking the right kind of words. All of us recognize wisdom is demonstrated in words. You already know that. So what you shouldn't do is speak the wrong words all the time and say, it's genetic. This is how my grandmother used to speak. That is not wisdom. Amen? So being prudent is using the wisdom you already have. Like, you know, wisdom speaks good words. Wisdom speaks words that are edifying, words that are conciliatory, words that are peaceful. So what we shouldn't do if we're being prudent is to have that understanding and then still speak words anyhow. Amen. I couldn't find this scripture. I asked them. I know there's one of them in Psalm 39 where the psalmist said, Lord, that's not where he prayed the prayer, but he says, he will put a bridle. I think that's verse 1. I'll put a bridle over my mouth. That's very powerful. That's very important. But I know somewhere in the Psalms, I have to look for that scripture, there's somewhere else in the Psalms where the psalmist actually prayed, Lord, please put a bridle on my mouth. Does anyone remember that scripture? Where is that scripture? Huh? If you find it later, I'll keep on talking to save my time. But if you find it, just bring it up to my attention. That's a powerful prayer. Lord, please put a bridle over my mouth. So that applies in two different ways. Number one, so I only talk when I need to talk. Some people just talk all the time. And you know, the Bible says in the multitudes of words, sin is not absent, right? You can't talk so much and not at some point. Yeah, at some point you're going to stumble. Amen. So that's one application of it is learning to speak, growing in the use of our tongue at the right time. But the other aspect of it is learning to say the right things. Learning to say the right things. Amen. So, Lord, please put a bridle. Someone found that scripture? Thank you. I knew there was a scripture like that in the Bible. Thank you very much. Psalm 141, verse 3. There you go. I actually even have it marked. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I like that. I like that. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. See, that is a prayer of wisdom. That is, I understand I'm not supposed to be talking every time. And I understand whenever I talk, there are some things I should not say. The Bible says in the Proverbs, it's only a fool that says everything in his mind. That's truly a fool. I mean, here comes the wife asking her husband, honey, how do you think I look? I think you look short. What? It's a fool who speaks his mind all the time. Amen. And some people say, well, you know, Pastor, the Bible says I got to be transparent and I got to be honest. Yeah. But then do you have to tell us everything in your mind? You can keep some things in your mind, can't you? Amen. Honey, how do I look? Man, you look gorgeous. You're the best. Whoa. Don't lie to me. I've never seen anyone as gorgeous as you. And that's it. You don't have to say, okay, what part of me? What part of my look do you like? Well, can we talk about that later? Can we not talk about that right now? Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, put a bridle over my mouth so that I only say what I need to say and I only say the right things. Amen. That's a powerful prayer of wisdom. That's a powerful prayer of wisdom. All right. So, by being prudent, what other ways do we grow in wisdom? Habitual fellowship. Well, yep. Impartation of the Holy Spirit. That's great. Habitual fellowship with God, who is wisdom himself. Yep. What other ways do we grow in wisdom? We talked, of course, about faithfulness, right? This is where the story of this woman came from. She says, I'm one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. Who can tell me, why do you think faithfulness is connected to wisdom? Homework. That's your homework. Go research that. Why do you think faithfulness is connected to wisdom? Why do you think the measure of wisdom that comes upon our lives is actually determined a lot of times by our faithfulness? Go research that. That's a homework for you. All right. Is there anyone that we've missed out so far? So we've talked about asking for it, number one. Searching for it diligently, number two. By the impartation of the Holy Spirit, number three. By being prudent, number four. Remember, we talked about walking in the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, right? So that's very important, very powerful. Then we talked about faithfulness, which is supposed to be number five. I'm going to add two more to that this morning, and then I'm going to wrap this up. So I have this as number six. I don't know if I've lost you somewhere, if I've added something that I shouldn't, but I have this as number six in my notes. By keeping the right company and by walking with wise people. By keeping the right company and by walking with wise people. Now, most of us may not want to admit this, but the people who are closest to you rub off on you. Amen. If a very wise person is very close to you, closely associated to you, guess what? You are going to grow in wisdom. Look at that scripture with me in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. What does it say? Let's read it together, everyone. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Let's read it in the King James. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do you know that the people you speak to most of the time, the things you listen to, the movies you watch most of the time, are influential over your life. Do you know if you talk a lot on the phone to someone who curses and you don't curse, do you know it won't be long before you hear yourself cursing? Sometimes, even when you really don't think anybody's listening, right? Why? Because you've heard this F word over and over from your BFF. Right? Interjecting this B word in almost every sentence, right? What do you think is going to happen to you? Before long, the B word, the B word is going to slide into your conversations. And sometimes you're going to go, ha? Where did that come from? Ha, that's because you've heard it. Same thing goes with the movies we watch. Whatever you expose yourself to a lot eventually influences you. Anything. Do you know if you are a good man who is generally a focused person, who is generally dedicated to whatever it is you do, your business, your career, your family life, but your closest friend is a loose person. Do you know it's not going to take very long before their looseness rubs off on you? There's a scripture I said I didn't have the time to add to my notes, but I'm going to have you find that other scripture. You found me one. Thank you. You're going to find me this other one. It's in the New Testament. It says, evil communication does what? Corrupts good manners. I want you to find that scripture for me somewhere in Corinthians. Evil communication. Yes, where is it? Ah, all right. What are you using? Are you using a Bible computer? Is all this coming from your brain? Man, give it to me again. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Thank you. Let's look at that scripture together. 1 Corinthians. Man, that was quick. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 15:33. What does it say? Wait a minute. I put the wrong one. 1 Corinthians 15:33. What does it say? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Do you know that if you are a steady person in life, if you are a steady, focused person who is generally committed person, devoted person, you are one of those people that see your tasks through, you're one of those people that are focused, that will give everything there, you're a person of excellence, but if your closest friends are people who are loose, do you know it's just a matter of time before you actually lose those characteristics of yours where we say you are focused and you are... I remember we used to have several years ago a gentleman who was a young man. And, you know, I used to ask him, because every time he introduced his friends to me, I mean... His friends were drug users, you name it. Now, his friends were also church people. They would also come into church. But they carried on those lifestyles. They carried on those things. And I used to say to him, well, yeah, I understand, you know, if you want to be influential positively to help these people. But I said, but how can this be your closest friends? How can this be your closest friends? Because your close associations eventually rub off on you. I'm talking about how we grow in wisdom. And I'm also talking about some of the influences over our lives. Do you know if you live your life by certain principles, But your closest associates live their lives by totally different principles. But both of you are very, very close friends, extremely close, tight. Do you know if in order to sustain the closeness of your relationship, somebody has to give ground? And most of the time, the person who gives ground is the person who is higher. Do you know it is so much more difficult? Where is Zay? Is Zay in this service this morning? Oh, Zay, thank you, Zay. He's overhead man today. God bless you. Julius, come. Come, Julius. Come. This is nothing about you. This is just, I just need you for a little illustration. Come quick. Run, man. Run. There you go. Stand right here. All right. I want you to try to pull me up to where you are. Try. All right. Okay. You tried. All right. I'm going to try to pull you down.
Okay.
All right. All right. Are you ready? All right. Here we go. Thank you. Listen, it is so much easier. Thank you, Julius. It is so much easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is so much easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. So, if you are in close association and relationship with people who are low, in order for you to sustain that relationship, one of you is going to have to give ground. Do you know who it is easier for to give ground? The person who is higher. Because it is so much easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. This is one of the reasons why the Bible says, if you want to be wise, you've got to walk with wise people. Your associations ultimately determine your destiny, who you are closest to. All of us are in chains of relationships. All of us have people we mentor or we impart to, and we have people who are at the same level with us, and we have people that we receive from. That's just relationship 101. However, I'm talking about the people that are closest to us. The people who are above us must be closer to us than the people that are below us. Even though a lot of times, naturally, we have an inclination to be closer to people below us because they make us feel better about ourselves. If, for instance, you only lie, you tell a lie maybe like twice a week, but your closest buddy lies 10 times every day. Right? Guess what? That pathological liar makes you feel like a saint. You feel like a saint. You go, I mean, this guy lies, he lies like he's drinking water. I mean, I only tell a lie every now and then. Guess what? Though, if you are in close association with someone who just does not lie, they just don't lie, they don't make you feel like a saint. When you are around them, sometimes you actually feel a little dirty. So, natural human inclination is to draw closer to the liar than it is to the whatever. Because it's easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. However, if you are a person of wisdom, If you are someone who is dedicated and who is committed to growing in wisdom, you put those natural inclinations aside, because what you want is you want to go higher. You put all those natural, emotional, woozy things aside, like, yeah, he makes me feel good. Ah, he just makes me feel good every time I'm around him. You know, the things he says, man, boy. Let's put all those aside. You are devoted to growing in wisdom. So then, you make your closer association, that one that is so much higher than you that sometimes you feel like that height is unattainable. But you know what? If you do that, you are going to keep going up, and you are going to keep going up, and you are going to keep going up, and eventually you will get to where they are. This is a spiritual, scriptural principle. In the same way, I use the example of that young man from several years ago who had this closest friends. Well, it actually didn't take years. He eventually became like his closest friends. Initially, you know, it was a struggle, but eventually he did become like those people, because your association affects you. Your associations influence you. Let me give you a word of wisdom. If you want to grow in wisdom, find people who have attained lasting success in certain areas of life. Follow them and keep close company with them. Let me say this to you again. I'm reading directly from my notes. If you want to grow in wisdom, find people who have attained lasting success in certain areas of their lives and follow them and keep close association with them. Keep close company with them. Now, I want to give you a second step to that suggestion of wisdom. And this helps you kind of break it down a little bit, kind of gives you a little, you know, this. I have just two last things I need to say to you here. This is the first one of them. Now, even in finding these associations, people who have attained lasting success in different areas of their lives and association and all of that, if you are a person of wisdom, you have to prioritize that. Let me explain what I mean. This is not one of those feel-good messages, not one of those ones that will make you shout hallelujah, run around the church 10 times, and all of that. But these instructions right here, these suggestions right here, can actually make the difference between, if you practice this principle, regardless of where you are today, over the next few months of your life, when you take a look at yourself, you'll be way up, way higher than where you are right now. All right, so I've talked about creating associations with people who have attained lasting success, right? But even that I want to characterize a little bit. So prioritize in this order. When you talk about lasting success, if you want to really grow in wisdom, prioritize people's spiritual lives. Let me say that again. Prioritize. When I talk about finding people who have attained lasting success, first of all, find people who are successful in their spiritual lives. I want to explain that a little bit. And I already used this illustration in Akron. I'm going to kind of delve into this a little bit. Don't look for gifts. See, when I talk about prioritizing lasting success, and I talk about prioritizing people who are successful in their spiritual lives, listen, I'm not talking about people who preach well. I'm not talking about people who sing well. I'm not talking about people who carry a big Bible like mine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people who have uzi-wuzi gifts, great gifts. No, that's not what I'm talking about. People who you can see
have a good quality spiritual life, regardless of what they do. One of our problems is we're so gift-centric. We're so gift-centric. Our society is so gift-centric. People are so overwhelmed by this notion of success that we all see. We see it in the media. We see it everywhere. And somehow we have equated what we see publicly with what we don't see. Just the fact that someone, and I know I've said this before, I may sound like a broken record right now, but let me still do that. It's good because it's the word of God. Just because someone is paraded as a success on television does not mean they are successful. Does not mean they are successful. Because you don't know what they are dealing with behind the closed doors in their bedroom. You have no idea. Just because people are glammed up and, all of the everything is where it ought to be, and they have a great following, maybe a lot of money, maybe success by standards of the world, does not mean they're successful. You have no idea what they are dealing with. People, our society, I better keep my eye on that time because I want to close this early. Our society is so, I'm talking to you about your associations. Because that person on TV, you might never get close to. You might never have a relationship with Kim Kardashian or Kanye West, or I'm just using those because they are so far away from here. But the fact that you see that image of success on TV does not mean that person is successful at all. At all. Those people may be dying looking for a way to explode. You've heard many times people say, the pressure just got too much. I had to be this way. I had to be. No. When I talk about looking for, I'm talking about looking for authentic. I'm talking about looking for real, down to earth. So if you are looking, you will never find perfect. If you are looking for perfect, you have to go to heaven quick. That means you die quick. Because that's the only place where there is perfect. So I'm not talking perfect. But I'm talking about people that are striving, but they are authentic. How can you tell when people are authentic? Because from time to time, number one, you would see their passion. But in addition to that, from time to time, you will see their failings. If someone is authentic, they don't succeed all the time. They don't speak the right words all the time. If someone is authentic, from time to time, you are going to see. Now, but even then, they don't glorify those failings. In those failings, you can see them striving to make it right. You can see them striving to do better. People who are authentic have no problem apologizing, ever. People who are authentic will say, I guess I shouldn't have said that. I guess this would have been the better way to say it. Amen? So I'm talking about, though, people who love the Lord, people who have a great relationship with the Word of God, people who treasure the presence of God, people who seek to please God, but people who are also just driving to try to get better. Prioritize being in a relationship with people like that. Amen. You should say a big amen to that. You should say a big amen to that. It's a very good word right there.
So prioritize their spiritual life. How are they doing in their spiritual life? After their spiritual life, prioritize their emotional life. Prioritize their emotional life. Like lasting success in terms of how are they growing and mastering their emotions. Prioritize success in terms of their physical life. How comfortable are they in their own skin? Prioritize success in terms of their family life. How much success have they attained in their family life? Are they good people in their families? You know, you never find true success standing alone. True success never stands alone. True success always has company. There's always, if people are successful, their success rubs off on other people and it shows through other people as well. So prioritize those. Of course, then you go down from their family life to their serving God life, their ministry life. Then you go down to their career life, professional life. Then you go down to their financial life and on like that. But don't start the other way around. Don't prioritize their financial life and put that at the top and say, I'm going to try to associate with that person based on how successful they are in their... No. You are reversing that thing. Because wholeness does not start from the bottom. Wholeness starts from the top. Wholeness does not start from outside. It starts from inside. Amen. So being in good association, close relationship with people who have attained lasting success will help you grow in wisdom. Amen. I'm talking to you about how to be wise, how to grow in wisdom. If you associate closely with people who are way ahead on their journey than you are, they help you get quicker to where you want to go. Amen. I guess that's the power of mentoring. That's why mentoring is really powerful. But I'm not just talking about mentoring as in someone teaching you, someone talking to you all the time. No, because you are assuming that that person has it all together. And maybe in that area of their lives, maybe they do. But I'm talking about their general, the totality of their lives, really. And I'm saying, prioritize having a relationship, not necessarily a mentoring thing. That's great. That has its place. But I'm prioritizing a relationship. Because let me tell you what happens in relationships. That's what we see with Jesus. See, Jesus didn't have a mentoring program. Jesus had a relationship with the disciples. When they came to a place where they didn't have enough food, all the disciples saw it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Am I preaching to myself in this church? There's nobody saying yay, amen to me. All right. I guess this message is a little too deep. It's too hard. It's too, I don't know. Or maybe it's too simple. I guess it's too simple. So, okay. All right. I'll keep it to myself then. All right. Okay, fine. Let's leave that. Let me give you my last one. Fine. I'm done with that now. I'm done with that. You know, this is why the Lord told a lot of parables, you know. This is why the Lord told a lot of parables. And then sometimes, though, he will gather a handful of his disciples into a room and say to them, all right, you know, that whole thing about sowing the seed and this, okay, I told that story because that's all they could handle. I need to tell you a few deeper things. And then he'll go and tell them. So Jesus never really did push down the word on anyone. So sometimes maybe we're just not, you know, we're not in a place where we're ready to receive. So this thing about association may be a little difficult for you because you may look around you and think, most of my close associates are people that I'm trying to encourage and bring up. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm now saying you need to find people that are way ahead in their journey than you are so they can challenge you. Not people who make you feel good.
emotionally, like, yeah, when he talks to me, eh, man, I feel great. No, none of those ones. Some of the ones that really rob you, like, man, this guy, when am I ever going to satisfy him? Yeah, you need people like that. And so the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Because how are you going to get better if the only people that talk to you are people who already feel you are gold? Yeah, how are you going to get better? None of us is going to get better. You know, sometimes I deliberately, personally, recently I took a trip on my way. I was headed some other state, but I took a trip, and and sat down in Pastor Rod Parsley's church, because way back there, you know, many of you might know Pastor Rod Parsley in Columbus, started preaching extremely young, and was a very inspirational figure to many of us. When we just came out of college several years ago. She's an extremely young preacher in America, fairy, you know. And, actually there was a particular year that I took some of our ministry team. We haven't done things like that in such a long time. Wow. Way back, several years ago, I actually took our entire ministry team. We chartered hotels and got everybody in hotels, and we went through there. They had this workshop for leaders, for different aspects of leadership, and, you know, had everybody. I think it was a three-day thing. Was it 3 days or something? We all stayed in. We didn't have the money to stay in expensive hotels way back then. God knows we've walked quite a long journey to get to where we are, but we stayed in motels, right? I don't know if it was Motel 6, Motel 8 it was. We stayed there, and we were happy. Glory to God. We were very happy, all of us. And we went as a team. And we went to different sections. Who else was there? Were you there, Deaconess Yvette? You probably didn't go with us. Those were the days when your husband didn't let you go places with us. He always locked you down. He always locked you down. I never understand what that man had in mind. I just never figured him out. Yeah, we did. You know, so anyhow, that was Pastor Rod Parsley. So, you know, periodically, every now and then. So, you know, I mean, a few weeks ago, I was headed out of state somewhere. I thought, you know, I'm going to. So I checked myself in into a hotel that weekend and went to their service and just sat down and just listened. Having been a preacher for so many years and in different experiences, and he's in Ohio, you know, of course, I wanted to kind of pick a few things from him. So I sat down and just listened and just watched. And what a blessing that was. Amen. Amen. So you should find people like that who challenge you. You know, of course, I left from there, you know, wanting to be a better preacher. Amen. Amen. Wanting to be a better minister of the gospel. Amen. And that's just one example. I mean, we'll do stuff like that periodically. And it gets even better if you can be in relationship with people like that. Like, you can have lunch together, you can talk, you know, and all of us have people like that in our lives who are way higher than where we are. And we just see some, the couple of my pastor friends, I demand that lunch. I pay for it and I demand it. I say, we are having that lunch. They're extremely busy, extremely busy. And one or two of them have been here before. Extremely busy, but I'll demand that lunch. And of course, when we get there, I'll pay for it. They can afford it. They didn't need me to pay for it, but I wanted to show that I valued that they came to that lunch with me. And we sit down together and we just talk. We just talk and we talk about, we laugh. One of them is my partner in laughter in crime, who, when we start laughing, our wives have to step aside and leave us alone. Many of you know Pastor Gilbert in Lorraine. We just laugh, and sometimes we make people uncomfortable. But you know, a lot of times, and sometimes through the laughter, things are said. I remember one of our last meetings, last lunches, sometime last year, he said something that he did not mean to say, but was something I was praying over, looking for direction on. He said it right there, and I thought, that's the answer I've been looking for. That is the answer I've been looking for. And so, having associations with people who are way higher than you,
You don't feel that good, like you don't feel emotionally great, like, man, they don't punch you and say, man, you are the best, you are the best person who's ever shown up in my life since TD Jakes. No, no, no. They're like, boy, that's where you are. You gotta step up a little bit. We need people like that in our lives. Because associations like that make us better. Somebody say amen. All right, I gotta close. I'm gonna stop right here. I already talked about the other one. The last thing I had was training your tongue, learning to train your tongue. Learning to train your tongue. James 3 and James 1 tells us that if you are gonna be a person of wisdom, your words, you're gonna have to pay a lot of attention to your words. You're gonna have to train your tongue, and train yourself in the way you talk. Hallelujah. And I gave you a couple of those scriptures. You know, he prayed in that one that Zini helped us find. And there's another one in Psalm 39, verse 1. Would you please put that up for me, please? Psalm 39, verse 1. Let's close out there. It says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. That is, I'm going to make up my mind to do certain things with my tongue. I'm not just going to talk every time I feel like talking. Because every time I feel like talking is not necessarily the right time to talk. Amen. Sometimes I feel like talking and I really should keep quiet. I should listen. Because like somebody said, you already know what you know, don't you? You already know everything you know. Sometimes by listening to other people, you can learn a few things that you don't currently know. Did you receive something? All right, let's stand to our feet and thank God. Glory be to God. That's a good word.